Hello, you wonderful pair of ears, and welcome to another Infinite Escape Room Pubiverse. This week, I'm joined by David Spira and PG Law from Reality Escape Pod to chat a little bit about last week's room, The Wicker Plan. We also chat about Reality Escape Pod and some of their favourite guests, the challenges of switching your brain between game mode and story mode in an escape room, and briefly touch on why David and PG enjoy leaving each other for dead. So here we are sitting in the Burning Man where everything's on fire except for the shots. They don't put those on fire because of health and safety, which is a damn shame. Having a quick break to chat about our episode from last week where our perilous puzzlers escaped from a non-copyright infringing version of The Wicker Man. To have a drink and a chat about the room, what we just did. But first, it's my round. So who's drinking what?
I'm super boring. I'm drinking water at the moment because we're going to be recording again in a little while for our own show.
I mean, there's an opportunity there to get a couple of bevvies in now and then record that while slightly buzzed and just see what the difference is. The edit will save it, but let's just see what happens. Let's make magic.
This episode brought to you by Drunken Uncle Dave.
I would pay to see it.
I miss being drunken Auntie PG. I used to be drunken Auntie PG. Now I'm just regular old fun Auntie PG because, like, as I got older, I feel like I got none of the fun of booze and all of the hangover. Like, it's really not fair. I guess it all balances out because when you're young, it's the other way around, right?
Yeah, I mean, plus you have a dog son now, so there's responsibility
That's true. I'm a mother, so, you know, I got to be responsible.
Yeah. Check out last week's episode to find out how that makes sense. Why you listen to the pubisode if you haven't listened to the previous one? Go back and listen to that one first. plus, I suppose it's also, what, like 2 o'clock in the afternoon where you guys are?
For me, at least.
Yeah, something like that.
I am surrounded by a plethora of drinks. I've got water. I've got coffee. I got this as a sample in the mail.
Ooh.
It's disgusting. I'm sorry. Your sample didn't work. It's way too sweet. What is it?
Canada Dry Fruit Splash Zero Sugar.
They're trying to get into the whole game of the sparkling waters with just like a scent of a fruit. It's like if the soda had a dream about being a fruit. You know, that's what these LaCroix taste like. But it's not. This is like, it's basically like punch. I got punched in the face with punch flavor is what's happening here.
Oh, no. Yeah, but it said Canada Dry. I thought it was a gin. I thought, Jesus, PG, you're going hardcore. This is great. But no, just ginger. Was it ginger ale?
Cherry ginger ale. Cherry ginger ale. It's not...
Yay for cherry, boo for ginger.
What I would, I'm going the opposite. I'm yay ginger, down on cherry.
Yeah, well, cherry spice was one of the forgotten Spice Girls. Nobody cared about cherry spice. And I'm Jamie again. And this week I'm drinking. It's another mead because that's what I do. This is from the Hive Mind Brewery, which is like 20 minutes away from me, which is quite nice. And it's a Zambian Forest Honey Mead, which packs more of a punch than I expected. But it's a school night. And I'm probably going to drink the whole bottle of what I'm editing this episode. So bon voyage, everybody.
I recently discovered a cocktail called the Paper Plane, and it is like my new favorite cocktail. It is so good. So anybody out there, I recommend. It's bourbon, Aperol, lemon juice, and it's like an Amaro called like Nana... I forget the name, Nana something. It's like an expensive Amaro, but it is delicious. So look it up and try this recipe at home and then report back.
I like it. David, when you're not on the clock, what do you normally like to drink?
Usually at home, we're making gin and tonics. Yeah.
Nice.
We're big. We have quite the assortment of gins, and we're usually mixing with Fever Tree tonic.
Nice. That's fancy.
When I was in England and I had gone to the town of, is it Salisbury, where the Stonehenge is?
Oh, yeah.
And I was by myself. I was in my early 20s and I was in a pub drinking gin and tonics. And three old men sitting at the bar said, "What are you drinking over there, girl?" I was like, "It's a gin and tonic." They're like, drink gin and tonics at a pub? And I was like, what should I be drinking? Well, you should be drinking Guinness. And I never had Guinness. And they were like, we're buying you a Guinness. And so that was the first time I ever had a Guinness.
I mean, that I think that's very generous to be assuming that they spoke with any degree of legibility in that sort of part of the world, in that sort of pub. It would have sounded more like, right. You start going, I'm sorry, I don't understand a word of it.
I found them, I was fine. I could totally understand everything. The worst time I've ever had trying to understand English is when I was dating an Australian. And he was around all of his other Australian friends, and it was complete gibberish. I had no idea what they were saying. One-on-one, it was fine, but when they all got together, I literally couldn't understand it.
So for those who haven't listened to last week's episode, please pause now, listen to that, and come back. We're not going to wait for you, so you better put it on speed. Last week, David and PG definitely escaped from a burning Wicker Man through... some NPC interaction where they got some Kevlar gloves off a crazy guy with a very authentic Scottish accent, might I add, deciphering some B-waggle dancing and playing with copious amounts of puppets and doing very naughty things with articulate wooden hands. And you managed to escape with a good, like, minute and a half, which I think is damn good. So congrats to the both of you.
Thanks. Unfortunately, David succumbed to his allergies and passed. We are now talking to the ghost of David Spira.
Yeah, I definitely died in that game, but I got better.
This is starting to get a pattern. So listeners, David and PG were on the podcast a few years ago where they tackled a room themed around Stranger Things and the Upside Down. And if I remember rightly, at the very end of that episode, as the trailer that you were in starts to collapse in on itself, PG leaves David for dead inside said trailer and runs outside. So there's a habit forming of murdering your co-host.
David tried to murder me multiple times throughout.
Oh,
it was the other way around.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I was the one with the bloodlust last time.
Oh, my apologies, PG. In that case, vengeance
is
sweet.
Thank you.
But PG had COVID when we were recording last time, and like she was sort of already a goner.
So this is how much COVID messed me up. So yes, when we recorded 2 years ago, I was staying at David's house. I had COVID. He had just recovered from it. So it was, you know, it was okay. And I thought I was fine. I didn't feel that sick. I had a little bit of a cough, but that was about it. And then so fast forward like 6 months, and David just kind of messages me and he was like, or actually I get an email from the blue, you know, and David's messaging these conference organizers. He was like, hey, just so you know, my wife Lisa won't be able to come. I'm going to bring my co-host PG instead. So we have to figure out, you know, accommodations and things like that. And I messaged David and I was like, oh, David, I was like, I'm honored that you would like me to come, you know, do this conference with you, but maybe a heads up would have been good, you know? And David goes, we did talk about this. He was like, we had an entire...
We had a whole big conversation
about it.
A whole-ass
conversation on my couch in my living room. And actually, the first thing he goes is, I should have known better than to talk about this with you when you had COVID. And I... had completely forgotten. It was like a total blackout. Like I'd been out partying the night before and just blackout the next day, zero recollection.
Oh no.
Look, the first time I had COVID, I wrote a whole bunch of reviews for Room Escape Artist and I had no recollection of writing them and I didn't cross them off of my to-do list. So a few weeks later, Lisa was like, hey, we need to write these. And she opens up and she's like, they're all written. And three of the four were really good. They're also really, really like emotionally written. Like apparently I was definitely feeling some type of way while I was writing these things. But apparently most of them were good. One of them needed a lot of work. But I had no memory.
I just remember I was sitting with your wife, Lisa. We were like in the hotel and she was like, I have to go upstairs. She was like, David needs me to help him open the Gatorade.
Oh, no.
I was so ludicrously sick. We were in Vegas for a different conference. Mm. I never got to make it to the stage to give the talk.
Oh, no.
When PG did it. I had a brutal first run of COVID, and I spent about 30 hours having the same recurring nightmare that I was trapped in an escape room with Amanda Harris and Drew Nelson, who are two of the most experienced escape room players in the world. And I was constantly trying to have to solve this puzzle. And every time I thought that I had the puzzle solved, the parameters of the puzzle would change. And oh, Amanda would be standing over me being like, I don't think that's right. And the puzzle was what position to put my body in that didn't hurt.
Wow.
True story. This was the recurring nightmare that I was living in. While you were off giving that talk.
I never dream about escape rooms as much as I like do them and talk about them. And it is such a big part of my daily life. I never dream about them.
This is like the one time I've ever done it. I had never had escape room dreams before. But yeah, just Amanda just being like, I don't think you're right. And you're
being like, you that's a David's nightmare.
Oh, no.
I think Doldy's wrong.
I mean, that's an interesting handicap to give somebody who's done like several hundred thousands of rooms. You just give them a little jab of COVID, send them into the room and go, there you go, 60 minutes. Good luck. Bye. And just watch them sweat.
Figure out how to make yourself not feel hurt anymore.
I'm going to tell all of your future teammates in the future, David, to just like the next time they play an escape room with you, to just be like, I don't think that's right, David. Just gaslighting the whole thing.
My self-confidence is totally fine with that. In fact, very few things make me happier than people being like, I don't think that's right. And then it working, like a certain pulling a white and red lever puzzle.
Nice way of bringing it back. I like that.
Professionals.
You've went through that entire puzzle swiftly. Like it's obvious you guys are pros, you know what you're doing. You sensed that logic puzzle the instant the first clue came to you. What was interesting was that you did things in the reverse order to the way that I thought that you would do them. I figured, oh, they'll start in the chest, they'll go to the head, because that's like, it's the epicenter. They'll meet the NPC, which will see them like the sort of the what they need to do, and then they'll go into the limbs. But then you went, no, let's go to the arms. That's interesting. And then you went everywhere.
I was going to go to the head first. Then David just jumped in. I was like, I'm along for the ride. Let's do it.
So you got most of the way to getting that heart gem puzzle solved without ever needing to interact with that guy at the top. Luckily, you needed him for the gloves. Thankfully,
it's funny, like, I just figured that the head was going to give us a whole bunch of information, and I just kind of wanted to map out the space. That's my approach with spoken word games has always been to just sort of make your map, and you know, as you go, if you find good correlations, just attack them immediately. And so, you know, I wrote down red and white with glass, and then as soon we went to the right, the long arm, and I there was the white lever, and I was like, okay, white, that's interesting. And we went to the left arm, and it was red, and I was like, okay, we have a match. Let's just see if we can put check marks next to these and not have to think about them anymore.
I'm the opposite. I have a tendency to what, and I do this even in physical escape rooms too, where I want to explore everything and have all of the information before I start messing with stuff, just to kind of see everything all together. So like when you started pulling levers before we did the head, I started getting a little like, I got to sit up, you know, but I get the same way in escape rooms too. I get mad. People start solving puzzles before we've looked, you know, in every
Let's chest. See what's there
I'm
first.
Like, stop it, let's
But I also think about like from the listener experience, like I want there to be forward momentum for the listener as we're going. I don't want them to have to listen to 15 minutes of us like, you know, copiously taking notes as we are like studying the space. You're like, ooh, very interesting. Yes, yes.
No, that's totally fair. Like I've heard like it's so boring. Like I explore everything and then all of a sudden I solve it all in like 10 minutes. Like ridiculously. I mean, I agree, David. That is probably a more interesting way for the listener. Than the way I do it.
I mean, it's good that you're thinking of that experience, because usually when I do these recordings, all that's going through my mind is crippling fear and panic that I've missed something out, or that the audio won't work, or that the puzzle's too hard, or it's not hard enough. So I'm glad that somebody's thinking of the listeners.
The first time that Lisa and I were going on a show like this was the first time we went on Escape This Podcast. Hmm. And before that, they were in their second season. We were on the season finale of their second season. And Lisa and I are very much homework doers. And we both, we took alternating episodes and we both listened to the entire run of the show. And we were both taking notes on what we felt made for a good guest or a bad guest. And
nice. Too much. On a show They're like so extra. And,
yeah, we are. But what we had concluded from that was just really simply that, like, the good episodes were guests that were good at solving the puzzles and were entertaining while they did it.
Yeah.
And so that was sort of like that's the mentality that I always try to approach these kinds of things, is like, I want to try and get a good banter going, see if there's things that we can crack jokes about, and try and be competent as we go.
Yeah, that's part of the fun with these things, is that I think on the balance of getting the answer right versus having a laugh, always veer towards having a laugh. The edit will save anything else, as long as you're
absolutely
having fun.
Yeah, and that was that's sort of the mindset that at least I try to bring.
What I found interesting with last week's episode is you sort of did a speed run through most of it. You knew exactly what you're doing. The bit that kind of tripped you up just a little bit was the bit that wasn't necessarily like a puzzle. It was more of the role play D&D aspect, that sort of MacGyver-esque Monkey Island. Oh, the thing doesn't fit. How do we do that? So there were a number of other avenues you could have taken. And to be fair, if you'd have made something completely wacky and creative, I probably would have allowed it as long as it sounded good. So, so what you did was wedge the gem into the heart cavity with a suitcase, which gave you enough time to run down to the arms and pull the levers to lock the glass in place. That was one of the options that I'd written down. What you could have also have done, which PG, you mentioned at the end of the last episode, was to use the honey to stick the heart in place, because I tried to drop a few times how sticky this honey was, so that would have locked it in place as well. You could have also just packed that cavity with any kind of detritus that you found in the Wicker Man, just using anything to pack that. You could have also asked Edward the NPC to come down and hold it in place for you, in which case what would have happened is his arm would have probably been severed when the glass came down or something like that. Something horrific would have happened.
And then I would have been able to keep one of his gloves.
A small price to pay.
I think all the detritus was already glued to me, though, since I was covered in the honey.
That's fair. That's very true. Yeah, you went to town on that stuff.
You know, this is one of the things for me, though, that, like, sometimes I can't tell if we are supposed to do something weird with environmental things that we find, or if there is some kind of puzzle and it's like, I don't want to break whatever's working. Or, you know, actually what I do a lot generally is I joke around and I'm like, I'm going to take the honey and use it to feed the bee, you know, and then sometimes it ends up being the answer. And I can't tell if I've somehow found a loophole or I've messed up the puzzle. When David was like, I'm going to get the gloves and go get that heart. And I was like, well, do we just skip sequence, David? How are you happy now? Just 5 minutes? Like,
again, I think it's that line between what's a game and what's you in this world. So it's the role-playing aspect, which you can't do in a real escape room necessarily, but here you can.
Yeah, I mean, I picked up on you very deliberately had said Kevlar gloves. And I was like, okay, Kevlar is, you know, mighty durable. I bet I can go and reach into that fire with, you know, for a moment with some Kevlar gloves. Like, my assumption is that you didn't have to put that word there. You could have said cotton gloves. You could have said gloves. You could have said rubber gloves. Any number of modifiers could have been there, but you chose Kevlar, conveying that these things are really durable.
I'm glad you're that perceptive and picked up on it. When I've done that in the past, it has not worked out. I've seeded things in and they just go, nope, no idea. I'm like, do you remember the thing that I've said 4 times? Oh, I tuned that out. I don't listen to that.
I tuned out Kevlar.
That's just set dressing.
I was like, I totally tuned it out. I was like, David, are you making up this thing about the Kevlar? I don't remember hearing that.
I'm just making him yes and with me.
That's what I thought. I was like, are you just like, oh, there's Kevlar gloves, right? Wink, you know?
And it is a challenge with these kinds of formats is how much do you encourage people to play with the space and play with the environment and go, you're not in an escape room. You are in this environment for real. You can do whatever you want. And then on the fly, I need to be the one to either accept it or rein it in and go, that's not going to be the thing.
I feel like the bees could have eaten the honey.
I did consider it. I thought, you know, bees make honey. Don't shit where you eat. They eat the flesh.
They literally eat their shit. That's literally what the honey's for.
That is a fair point. The honey had to serve a secondary purpose. Don't want to waste it on feeding bees. Yeah.
But yeah, like listening for the modifiers is the thing that that's what I'm usually doing. And you did repeatedly lean on the stickiness of the honey and that the stickiness was everywhere. And like in retrospect, I was like, I'm like, oh yeah, that was you were cluing that really thoroughly and we were ignoring it very thoroughly.
I didn't ignore it. What are you talking about, David?
she's hit the toe in it.
We weren't ignoring it, but we weren't doing anything. We weren't doing anything constructive with it, is what he's trying to politely say. I would say in some ways better. The bit is better than the solve. So like,
yeah,
it's good.
Again, if it's a choice between being right and being silly, always lean towards being silly. It's much, much better that way. So yeah, this is based in a very subtle way, I would say, based on the film The Wicker Man. You wouldn't have known it if I hadn't have mentioned it. It was that subtle.
What was the deal with Punchy?
So the puppets that you had, Punch Judy, Baby Sausage Policeman, Crocodile, those are all part of a British puppet show called the Punch and Judy Show. It's been going on for centuries. It's a really old folklore tradition. There's elements of that in the film The Wicker Man, some of the costumes they wear. But it's like a seaside town performance thing or like a village fete performance. But it's horrific. So you've got this guy, Punch, who beats and murders everybody. He constantly beats his wife, Judy. He sits on the baby and kills it. Him and the policeman tend to fight and he murders the policeman. What usually happens is the crocodile eats the sausages and then tries to kill Punch and eat him. There's variations of it, but it's violent. And it's kids of all ages sit in front
of this. Okay, but this is an old tradition. I mean, back in like Shakespearean times, this is what, they would, sideshows, they would be watching this during festivals and things like that, right? So this is what they had instead of soap operas and instead of horror movies and instead of dramas, they had Judy and Punch.
That's fair. I mean, you compare that to like the Grimm fairy tales where like there's a story behind the violence of like, don't go into the woods, don't trust strangers. This is just welcome to Britain, where we just murder and beat everybody and we eat sausages. Come on in. That's basically how it plays it.
The puppets that are in the Punch and Judy show, I'm just Googling this now. These are the same old German puppets that I grew up with, that my mom grew up with. And so my grandfather had built this beautiful puppet theater that had this like retracting curtain, and we would put on puppet shows using some of the exact puppets, like the what would definitely be politically incorrect now, the hobo puppet, like these are all like the puppets that I grew up with.
Oh wow.
Which was like out of generation for me.
So like the Wicker Man and the Punch and Judy show, they're sort of the sort of smashing together of old British folklore and sort of folk horror merged together. There's a really good book by an author called Ben Aronovich called Rivers of London that looks at sort of British folklore mythology in a modern setting. It's been described as what would happen if Harry Potter grew up and joined the police force. It's that kind of vibe, like an urban fantasy. But the plot of the main story involves Punch and Judy, and it is grim and it is violent, but it's such a good read. And it's sort of like a modern folk horror.
Oh, okay. Awesome. I got another series too. If anybody likes, you know, you mentioned like a dark kind of like Hogwarts style book, the Scholomance series by Naomi Novik is really, really good. So again, it's about kids at like kind of a magical school, but it's super, super dark. It's excellent. The same author wrote a series called Temeraire where it's about dragons. But imagine dragons as naval ships. So you're combining like naval warfare. And so because these dragons are huge, they're manned by like, you know, all these like there's like a whole military branch that's manning these dragons, and they're running them just like they're running ships back in the old naval warfare days. And so that's kind of what these novels are about. And so that is excellent. It's the same author that wrote the Scholomance series, Naomi Novik. So,
but yeah, PG, you mentioned in the last episode the similarity with Midsommar. It's the same thing, just exchange rural Scotland / British horror with Sweden, and it's almost carbon copies, chop and change, is the same kind of stuff. In a weird happy coincidence, the code that you put into the 4-digit lock, the 73, that's 1973. Was the year that The Wicker Man was released in the theaters. So it became an accidental anagram of the year of that release in the puzzle.
I didn't realize The Wicker Man was so old. Like, I'd heard of it, but I'd never seen it. I haven't seen Midsommar either. I've just been watching clips of it on TikTok.
I think there have been a few different Wicker Man movies.
Yeah, so 1973 was the first one with Christopher Lee as Lord Summerisle, who was amazing. Just Christopher Lee in general is incredible. Edward Woodward is the is a policeman who eventually becomes a sacrifice. Spoiler warning, but you know, it's 1973. It was released a long time ago. Get over it.
Jamie, you're spoiling movies.
Darth Vader, get it, guys, is Luke Skywalker's father.
No.
First. And they remade The Wicker Man then in the 2000s with Nicolas Cage in the lead role, and it's an awful, awful film. But
I would say that is Nicolas Cage at his most Nicolas Cagey.
Yeah, but because Nicolas Cage is in it, it's a wonderful, wonderful film. So it depends on which side of that fence you sit on. I'm very much pro Nicolas Cage, can do no wrong. All the bits that he's not in it are terrible. If you want to see Nicolas Cage drop kick somebody while dressed as a bear, The Wicker Man is the one for you. So yeah, that's the reason why there's bees in the Wicker Man is from the Nicolas Cage film. Bees are quite a big thing in there. And the NPC's name, Edward, is his character's name is Edward Malice in that, but it's also the actor who played him in the original as well. So this shit goes deep. This is like an ogre. There's layers to it.
I got to start watching. You know, I used to hate scary movies and horror films. I was never into them. I only kind of got into horror once I started playing escape rooms. And I feel like now so many creators that I like their work, and they're inspired by so many things from horror movies, that I feel like I actually have to start going back and watching like the back catalog of famous horror flicks. I've never seen most of them. You know, Nightmare on Elm Street, never saw another Halloween series. The only line from a horror movie I remember, I don't know why this is the one line, is from Carrie, where she goes, "They're not dirty pillows, Mama, they're breasts, and everybody has them." my friends and I used to say that to each other all the time growing up. So,
one thing we like to do with these episodes is we like to cut little audio clips to put into the next episode as a sort of a previously on the Infinite Escape Room. I might have taken that. And that'll be the only thing that gets put into the next episode. I think that's brilliant. It's just to confuse the living daylights out of the audience. But, huh? Wait, did the Infinite Escape Room launch their OnlyFans like they promised? Let's have a look.
I mean, if you saw the numbers they were pulling, you might get tempted.
nobody wants to see that from us.
Yeah, I feel
nobody wants to see that. The pace to stop. There's an audience for everything. We don't want to interact with that audience. Trust me. Yeah. That's not going to be good. Yeah.
Only puzzles.
Yes. I think that is a great, that is a fantastic alternative to Patreon, onlypuzzles.com. That is, if anyone should spearhead that movement, it's you. I think that should be the next announcement on Repod. speaking of Repod, though, you're on, was it season 7 you're on now?
We just launched season 7.
Although,
that's amazing.
It's like Survivor. So Survivor has like 47, they're on season 47, and it seems like a lot, and it is, but they do 2 seasons a year. So we also do 2 seasons a year. So it's not like it's been 7 years, it's been 3, because, you know, but it's still, it's...
Okay, season 3.5 is still pretty good. It's still decent.
We basically average an episode every 2 weeks. We just do them in large spurts, and then we take a break. And
for our own sanity, because David was like, we are not committing to a weekly schedule.
Before we launched the show, I had spoken to a whole bunch of different podcasters. And one of the things that consistently they were telling me is that they were like, because I would ask, like, what do you regret about the format decisions that you made? And people would all say, like, everybody would say, I regret that I have a weekly show. I wish that I didn't commit myself to this, like, endless no breaks. If I want to take a break, I have to, you know, record a whole bunch more, edit a whole bunch more, get myself that far ahead to take a break.
I mean, we still do that. So, we record months in advance now because we have also learned our lesson, but at least there is like a 2-month period where there is that break, you know, and we have time to catch up.
Yeah. Yeah. And we were very like down to the wire for a long time. And then the last 2 seasons, we've been trying to like claw the production schedule back so that we're working way in advance. And like this season is the first season that we're really achieving that well. And my hope is that we will start production on season 8 considerably earlier. And then we should be in kind of a chill space. I think it took us a while to claw everything back far enough that we weren't like always running around with our hair on fire.
Yeah. Chill. The words chill space and podcast production don't seem to go hand in hand, but I wish you all the best.
Oh, we're working on it.
We're gonna get there. Let us know your secrets. For the listeners that aren't aware of what Repod is, which I very much doubt, the crossover is basically a circle in that Venn diagram. But just in case, what is Repod?
So Repod stands for Reality Escape Pod, and it's a show where David and I get to interview creators, not only of escape rooms, but of all kinds of different things, like, you know, Nick Moran from Phantom Peak. We interview people that create LARPs or create, you know, we interviewed Barry Mead, who created The Room, which is that puzzle game.
He would want us to say one of the people who created The Room.
that game that you could get on, like, you know, Apple iOS on your phone or whatever. So we try to interview creators of different types of like gaming and immersive entertainment, interactive entertainment. And it's just been really fun. So that's our main show. We also do an after show for patrons, and we have something called the Spoilers Club. This is really cool. It's content that I don't think is really available anywhere else, where we have the creators of like famous escape rooms come on and they do a walkthrough. So, because so often it was like, you know, we can't talk about spoilers. We can't talk about that really, really cool thing that happened in the escape room because you don't want to ruin it for anybody. And this is like the safe space where we're like, don't listen to this until you've played it, like The Dome, for example. And then we could talk about really in detail things that we liked.
We haven't done an episode on
The
Dome.
We have not done, but I'm just saying, for example, like a famous room that, you know, most people have maybe heard of, right? So...
We've done like Man from Beyond by Strange Bird Immersive. We did an epic 2-part episode with them because Haley and Cameron Cooper are very giving, and they are also very thorough homework doers who really, really, they sent us the entire script for the game in advance, and they were we're gonna explore everything with you, and we did, and it was really cool to be able to do that.
Oh, that's epic! I love it.
We just did. They also came back again because, since Sleep No More in New York has announced that they're closing, and they're huge fans. They've gone like multiple times. So they were like, can we do one for Sleep No More where we kind of break it down, do a walkthrough, talk about what the experience is like? And they just wanted to sit and talk about it, you know, and kind of like their farewell love letter. And so it's really cool that we also have that in the Spoilers Club too, so that people who haven't gone can kind of maybe try to live through it a little bit. And for those who have gone like me and walked away still confused, you know, it helped clarify a lot of things for me.
I love it.
I'm definitely the villain of that episode.
More than I was. I thought I was going to be the villain.
I gave you the opportunity to be the villain, and you didn't go for it. So I'm like, all right,
I'm doing it.
I'm going to go for it.
We were here to celebrate them with two people who were its biggest fans.
Of all the guests that you've had, I'm not going to ask you to pick a favorite because that's not fair. Is there any guest that you've had that has surprised you in what they've said or sort of their approach to things?
I would say almost every guest does in a weird way, even for all the research that I do on them. We have wonderful people. I would say that there is an episode that we've recorded recently, and this is probably a little bit of recency bias, but we interviewed a guy named Michael Boris, who's the creator of an experience called The 49 Boxes, and it's going to be one of the episodes in the middle of this of season 7. And Michael has worked on all sorts of things. He worked on a lot of the early ARGs with 42 Entertainment, the Dark Knight ARG, Why So Serious. He's worked on a lot of really cool stuff. He was making some of the earliest internet, like website-based games for Disney. He's kind of like, his own words, he's sort of this like Forrest Gump of game design. He just kind of is in the right place at the right time. And I adore him. I met him last year. I think the world of him and his work and his ethos, and interviewing him was just a really powerful experience. I think for me, like there a lot of times, like, we're always telling the stories of people whose stories are rarely getting told. And I think that's one of the things I really love about the show. And that was one of those stories where I just felt like I'm glad that that recording will exist for people to be able to find out who he is and what he has done, because it's so freaking cool.
I'll say that one of the things that a lot of the guests have in common is that they're all extremely humble. I think that's part of the reason why I like everybody in this community so much. You know, you go into other entertainment industries and some of these people are super cocky, or everyone, you know, people like to talk a big game because that's what it's about. It's showbiz, you know, babe. And these guys are all like, I can't believe I'm on here. Like, I can't believe you want to talk to me, you know, and they're so humble. And these people have made incredible things, but they're so nice about it, you know? And that's one of the things that really kind of struck me, like why I like interviewing these people. And there isn't, you know, as much as I say, like, not that I call people out, but there isn't like a ton of bullshit. There's really not a lot of that. You know, if anything, most of these people, a lot of times kind of undersell themselves, or I can't believe you want to come talk about my little project. And I'm like, your little project is freaking amazing. Like, it blew my mind. I'm good at being like your hype woman. That's like, I'm like so good at that. So that's also what I'm here for.
But yeah, what I'll say is, like, one of the lessons that I think I would have gone back and told my previous self was to try and reach out to some of these guests who you think aren't going to want to come on. I was really nervous early on that, like, people just wouldn't want to do this. And even with, like, you know, I think the most extreme example for us was Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, but he invited himself.
Well, that's, yeah. So before I started choking, that was, you know, we hit the end of season 8 and he left a message on it, a comment
season
on it,
two.
On
season
an Instagram
two, right?
post and said that, it was the end of season 1.
Okay, end of season 1. Sorry, you said season 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, episode 8. he left a comment on it, and we had no idea he had been listening. And, you know, that I would say the combination of in season one, when Barry Mead said yes from Fireproof Games, from The Room, when Barry said yes, and then subsequently we had Neil on, and that went well. Like, we were, there was a world where we were terrible at this, and it didn't go well. And I think we emerged with a different level of confidence. And there's still some guests I would really love to get. Like, there's one guest that I've sent probably 10 emails to, and I'm just going to keep sending. I keep wanting to get Roberta Williams, the creator of King's Quest.
Oh, cool.
There's a whole bunch of people who've made like really seminal works in the puzzle gaming space. And I'm becoming increasingly aware of sort of their mortality, and also, I guess in a weird way, might like my own. and sort of like, there's a part of me that's sort of like, there's a window of time where we can interview these people. And if we don't get the opportunity to do it, it's never going to happen. And that is something that, like, I am increasingly aware of, as we've, in recent seasons, we've had some episodes with some guests who've been in the game for a lot longer than like your typical escape room folks. You know, they've done things in other adjacent puzzle spaces, and we're getting their stories. And, you know, like, there's a lot of like commonality of Games Magazine. Like, a lot of them started off either reading Games Magazine or working at Games Magazine. And I'm like, okay, well, there's some stories here that I would really like to be able to capture and like figure out how do we unravel some of this stuff while the people are still around to tell us these stories.
I do see that the barman at the Burning Man is currently on fire and is trying to usher us out of the pub whilst batting the flames away from his arm. So before we go, one thing we like to do is to go around the room and give a recommendation of something that we've seen, watched, listened to, played, experienced, that we think the audience should check out. Does anybody want to go first?
I'm going to recommend a YouTube channel that currently only has 4 videos as of the time that we are recording this. It is called Bobby Fingers. It is a person who sculpts props, and I'm not going to tell you anything else. I'm just going to ask you, watch these videos, watch them from the first one forward. They are sublime. Do not do any research. Don't read the comments. Just watch Bobby Fingers.
I mean, slightly scary, but I'm all for it. I am definitely game. Is it the kind of thing you need to watch in broad daylight? Or can
no,
you watch
no,
it
there's
night?
Nothing scary about it. It's, just trust me when I tell you, watch Bobby Fingers. And also come to the Reality Escape convention. It's in Los Angeles this year, August 18th and 19th, 2024. Tickets are on sale at realityescapecon.com. The team has put in a lot of love. And if you are someone who is a creator in the space, an aspiring creator, someone who likes to think about the act of creating these games, this is the place for you.
Yeah. As somebody who went to the virtual escape, Reality Escape convention last year, it was incredible. So I can only imagine how good the live edition must be. If only I weren't on this godforsaken aisle, then I would be a little bit closer to be in there. But you know, we'll see. Maybe you'll do one in Scunthorpe or some pissed off British Isle one day.
I would love to do a recon in Europe at some point. It's something that we've thought about. I don't know when or if it will ever happen, but I can tell you it is happening in Los Angeles this year.
Nice. If you are anywhere near there, because I know that in America, distance is not a thing, just like in the UK, time is not a thing. A €1,000 cap in the UK is like 1,000 miles in the US. It's like, yeah, it's nothing. So check it out. We'll make sure we put all the links in the show notes as well, so you can check it out.
Oh my gosh. If you are from overseas and you are ever visiting Los Angeles, and of course you're going to do Disneyland, I will recommend that you also check out another theme park called Knott's Berry Farm. It is in the same area as Disneyland. It is down in Anaheim. And in the summertime, they have this thing. There is an old Western town area, like cowboys, you know. And in the summer, they have this thing called Ghost Town Alive. We will be interviewing one, Andy Crocker, who has worked on, David, what is her, is it like the interactive program the interactive programming.
Yeah, she's one of the creative directors of the project.
So basically what it is there are actors throughout this Western town, and there are like, you can interact with them. They can give you missions and quests and things like that. And it is just a blast. I think if you like theme parks, you know, you can go on some roller coasters, go eat some funnel cakes. These are some really American pastimes, and you can go, you know, interact and play around with all of, with like cowboys and these old Western tropes and stories. And it's just really fun. It's a lot cheaper than Disneyland, and it's something different. There is, we did an episode that was one of our special releases. I think it's called like Theme Parks. It's, you'll look it up. You can look it up. It's like, it's called like Theme Park Adventures or something like that. And I talk about, you know, all like, I talk about the, our day spent there and how it works. And so that's kind of like a really fun time. Come visit us.
I love it.
PG's big unhinged day at Ghost Town Alive in Knott's Berry Farm.
I do see that the bar is currently self-immolating. But before we get thrown out into the night, for our listeners, please tell me where they can find you on online.
Easiest place to go is roomescapeartist.com. You'll be able to find links to the podcast, Reality Escape Pod. You'll be able to find links to the convention, Reality Escape Convention. It's all there. You can also find all of our socials there. That's the place to go, roomescapeartist.com.
Oh, you can find me everywhere at PG. That is P-E-I-H-G-E-E. I'm on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, all the things.
I mostly just exist as Room Escape Artist, and so you can find me wherever you find all that stuff. Yeah. Thank you so much for having us.
This was a ton of fun.
It has been a blast, but yes, so we will saunter out into the night as the barman screams, "Time, gentlemen, please," and shuts the bar as the whole building collapses, and we saunter into the night, patting away the smoldering embers on our clothes, and I treat you all to the wonder that is a British kebab as we trudge through the morning mist. We'll see you next time on the Infinite Escape Room, where we're escaping from a slightly singed Wicker Man on its way to the harbor. Good luck, John, with whatever the fuck that handover is. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.